Okay, so we are Memul Beis. We got to the bottom. I think it's probably Kedai to review that Mishnah quickly in the bottom. And the Mishnah says, "Ein nosin kemach l'toch charoses." One shouldn't put any flour in charoses. And the key point to charoses, the charoses has some chomet, some vinegar in it. O l'toch achardel, a person shouldn't put in the mustard. Vim nosan yochal miad. If a person does put it in either one, he must eat it right away. And Rabbi Meir oser. Rabbi Meir says one cannot eat it if you place the kemach in charoses, you place the kemach in the chardel, you have to burn it right away. So that's enough for the mishnah that we need right now. So jump to the Gemara. Amar of Kahana machlokas l'tocha chardel. The machlokas, whether you could eat it right away or whether you have to burn it, is only with respect to the chardel if you place some flour into mustard. Aval l'tocha charoses, you place it into some with a vinegar base to it. Everyone agrees. Divri akol yisrif miad. Everyone agrees you have to burn it right away. The Tani Nami Hachi Brisa says the same idea. Ein nosin kemach l'tocha charoses. One's not allowed to place it in there. The nosin yisraf miad. Then you have to burn it right away. That's with respect to the charoses. However, sorry, with respect to charoses. However, the tocha chardal, if you place it in the mustard, that's the machlokas. Right? Meir Omer yisraf miad. You must burn it right away. Chacham Omer yochal miad. Chacham allow you to eat it right away. Just don't wait. So Amar of Yehuna, Breder of Yehuda, Amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Halacha, Kedivrei Chachamim. We pass in like the Chachamim that you're allowed to eat it right away. So Amar Leir of Nachman, Bar Yitzhak, Rav Huna, Breder of Yehuda, they respond back, when you say the Halacha is like the Chachamim, they can eat it right away, was that Acharosis Kamarmar? Was that with respect to Charosis, which sounds like Chachamim even think by Charosis one's allowed to eat it, which is a Kash and Rav Kana? Rav Kana says everyone agrees Charosis, you have to burn it right away. So when we say we pass the chachamim that you're allowed to eat it, is that even with respect to the charoses, arguing with Rav Kana? Or only with respect to the chardel? By charoses, everyone agrees you have to burn it right away, and there's no machlokas there. The only question was, with respect to chardel, are you allowed to eat it right away, or do you have to burn it right away? When we said the halacha is like chachamim, so maybe it's only with respect to the chardel. That was the shaila. So I'm related to my nafkamina, who really cares? The nafkamina is, as we just said, the Rav Kahana. The Rav Kahana machlokas l'tocha chardel, the only machlokas with respect to mustard. Well, tocha charoses, divrek kol yisof miyad. So that's the question. And when we pass on the chachamim, is it only with respect to charoses, but he agrees to chardel, or no, even by chardel, chachamim argue. Amalei lo shmili, kolomar lo srili. I don't hold of this idea. Rashi says, top Rashi, first line, lo svirle, ela becharoses, nami shari, v'loch kamosin. I don't hold like Rav Kana. I think the machlokas, chacham even argue by charoses, and chacham say, you're allowed to eat right away, whether the kemach was placed in chardel, or even if it was placed in the charoses. Amar v'ashi, kvasi de Rav Kana mistavra. I think, I argue with you, I actually think Rav Kana is quite logical. Even though you rejected him, I think he's quite logical. The fact that Shmuel says the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi, which Rabbi Yossi are you referring to? So it says Rashi, four lines down, Ein halacha k'Rabbi Yossi, d'amar le'el chometz tzomtzom. He said this earlier, that if you start to see soaking in the water and the barley or the wheat start to crack, if you place in vinegar, the vinegar stops the growth. It stops it from turning into chometz. So Shmuel says we do not hold that way. We do not think vinegar prevents the growth of chometz. Vinegar does not do that. So once we don't pass like Rabbi Yossi, so the Gemara says now, so my lav smusi hudulot tzamis, vinegar does not prevent it from turning to chametz. Ha chamui mechame. It must be. It makes it into chametz. So it sounds like placing kemach into charoses, which has vinegar in it, will make it chametz. From the fact that we don't pass on the Rabbi Yossi glili, the fact that we do not say that vinegar prevents the growth of chametz, must be it actually helps the growth of chametz. So it sounds like when you put a kemach in charoses, it will make it into chametz, which sounds very mistaber according to Rav Kana. Because Rav Kahana said that both the Rav Meir and the Chachamim think that you cannot eat if kemach is placed in charoses, because the vinegar must help the growth of chametz.
The vinegar that's in the charoses already?
Yes.
So I'm not familiar with you, but the charoses has vinegar inside?
I don't know how every house, I think, makes charoses pretty differently. But I assume at least what they're referring to here is definitely talking about one that has vinegar. It might have the ones we make at home. I don't know. I've never really made it. But I know each home makes it slightly different. More nuts, more apples, no nuts, some apples, some wine.
More authentic biblical version is vinegar.
I guess so.
I always thought chalice was more sweet.
Right, they could still have something, still have some vinegar and still have a sweet flavor in the end. There's still going to be...
Oh, there could be natural... It could be like in the apple itself, there's a little bit of like a citrus that makes it fermented.
Maybe.
But we're saying either way, the vinegar or whatever acidic feature it is inside, that's what makes it acidic, and that's what makes it ferment to make it to become chametz.
Exactly. So at this point, the Gemara says, since we reject the biosic luli, and we do not agree that the vinegar prevents the growth, it must be that it helps the growth of it. And therefore, kemach placed in charosis will not be allowed. The Gemara says, no, lo, dilma lo mitames, tames v'lo chamui mechame. No, it's really neutral. We don't like whole like biosic luli. We don't think that the vinegar prevents the growth. At the same time, we don't think it enables the growth of it either. It's kind of neutral. And therefore, there's no raya from there. Okay, so that's the discussion in regards to kemach and charosis. Now the Gemara discuss the second part of the Mishnah, which I didn't read this morning at least. The Mishnah says, Ein mevashen es haPesach lo b'mashkin v'lo b'mei peros. One is not allowed to cook the Karban Pesach in any liquids, in any fruit juices, aval sachin matfilin osa. But you're allowed to dip the Karban Pesach in any of the juices, just don't cook in it. The Gemara is going to discuss this topic of Karban Pesach. I'm not sure why it's here. It's really a discussion for the middle of the Masechta, where he really talks more about the Kadshim and Karban Pesach. It says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan Bimayim. The pasuk is Bimayim. What's the full pasuk? So I have on the sign here, the whole pasuk is, Al Tochel Bimenu Na. You cannot eat the Karban Pesach when it's in the state of Na. We'll get to later what exactly Na means. Uvashem Mavusha Bimayim. And you can't eat it while it's been cooked in water. Kiim Tliyesh, but only when it's roasted. So that's the pasuk I have on the side. So now the Gemara analyzes, the pasuk says, Bimayim. I only have that you cannot cook it in water. Dafkin water, I can't cook the Karban Pesach. Ainly el b'mayim. That's only b'mayim. Shar mashkin minayin. How do I know other waters, other drinks, rather liquids, you cannot cook it in? I can't cook it in apple juice, grape juice. How do I know? Amr's kal v'chomer. It's a kal v'chomer here. Ma mayim shein mafigin tamam. Just like water, which does not ruin the taste, it still retains the taste of the Karban Pesach. Asurin, yet it's still usur to cook it in this. Shar mashkin shein mafigin tamam lo kol shkein. If you put it in apple juice, it's certainly going to change the taste, take away some of the taste of the Karban Pesach lo kol shkein, that you shouldn't be able to do it. There's an isur, so it's based on the Kal v'chomer, says the Tanakhama. Rabbi Omer b'mayim, it possibly only says water can't be cooked in. Ainly ela b'mayim. Shar mashu minayin. How do I know other liquids? Tamalomer uvashu mavushal mikom makom. The extra word mavushal comes to include not only water, but any kind of cooking, any liquid is going to be problematic. So machlok is what the source is. So my b'nai, what's the nafkamina between the two? Iki b'nai utzli kedar. So when you pot roast something, you roast it in something that doesn't have any liquid in it. So says Rashi, explains to us, tzli kedar, shemivashin also b'kedera, below mayim u'below shemash. You don't put any liquid. You put a piece of meat, the Karban Pesach, dry in this pot. Elamayim ha'niflatim mishmeno. The fats, the liquids, are going to start to come out of this piece of meat, and it's going to start cooking with its own juices. Leman the yalfla mikav v'chomer ha'chashar. The one who learns it from the kav v'chomer is going to say here's permitted, because the own meat, the meat's juices, is not going to change the flavor of it. However, so therefore it's going to be mutter. Just like only reason why water is asr, because water is mentioned in the Torah. So if water is asr, kav v'chomer, other things that change the taste. But you can't make a kal v'chomer to its own juices, which is not going to change the flavor. There's no kal v'chomer there. So it's permitted according to this first mandamer of the kal v'chomer. However, Rashi says, L'rebi d'yalof la miribui, from an extra word, hainami bashim b'vushal. This is also considered cooking. Even though it's from its own juices, it's still going to be considered bishul, because bishul is defined by cooked in any liquid, regardless of where the liquid comes from. So that's the nafkamina tzlikeder. So now, according to the Rabbanon, hay bashul mevushal my avilei. They learned the kava chomer. So what are they going to do with this extra word bashul mevushal? My avdilei mi baile. They need it for the following lichedatanya bishul v'acharkach tzalo. Let's say you first cook the Karban Pesach and then you roast it. Again, the Karban Pesach is supposed to be roasted, and there's an issur to bake it, to cook it rather. So how do I know bishul v'acharkach tzalo? Old tzalo v'acharkach bishul. I first cook it or roast it, or I roast it then cook it. How do I know either way? Chayiv, you're going to be chayiv. What's the source? Bishul v'acharkach tzalo makes sense. If I first cook it and then I roast it, you're chayiv d'ha bashul, because I already cooked it. El tzalo v'acharkach bashul. Once I roast it, well, what's hatzliyeshu? It's already been roasted. What's the cooking going to do after the fact? It's already been roasted. It shouldn't be chayiv bishul. Bishul hasn't accomplished anything. So am I? So why is that answer? So I'm Rav Kana, Hamani, Rabbi Yossi. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya Yotzen Barakik, you're able to yotze matzah with a rakik, with a like a cracker of a matzah. We're talking about matzah, but the matzah, very thin matzah, hashari, that's been soaked in some liquid, uvim mavushal, it was cooked in a liquid. Shaloni moach divrei Rabbi Meir, as long as it didn't disintegrate, as long as it wasn't pulverized, as long as it had some tzuras lechem to it. Yeah, sure.
What does it do if it didn't dissolve?
If it didn't dissolve?
Yeah.
So as long as it still retains some form of the matzah, even though it's a little wet and moist, it still has the state of a matzah. That's according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi is going to tell us, no, if you cook it after, look at Rabbi Yossi for a second. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yotzin Baraka Kashari. You're Yotze if you take this matzah, this cracker, and soak it, you're still Yotze the mitzvah, matzah. Avalobim Vushal, Afa Pishlo Nimoch. But if you cooked it, even though it was never pulverized, it still remained the state of some physical, something solid. But since it was mevushal, it's lost the status of matzah. Says Rashi, Avalo b'mevushal delav lechem krina bay, afa pisha kfar nefa betanur hol v'chazer bishlo bitlu b'taris lechem. Even though you already once baked it, once you've cooked it now in a liquid, it loses the status of being a piece of bread. So here too also, even though something was mevashal after initial afia or tzli, which is pretty similar, the roasting and baking are pretty similar, where it's a dry piece of cake, it's called baking, a dry piece of meat that's called roasting, it's something that's dry. So Rabbi Yossi says, just like by matzah, which was baked, if you cook it afterwards, it's going to be disqualified from being a matzah, so too by the tzli, even though I roasted it initially, if I cooked it afterwards, it's going to undo the initial tzli, and now it's going to be viewed as bishul, and that's why you're chayav from being mevashel after tzli in regards to the Karban Pesach.
But within halacha, don't we say ein tzli or tzli after?
So they use this Gemara to discuss those topics of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, Ein Bishul Achar Tzli, Ein Tzli Achar Bishul, all those discussions. So there's actually, let's just finish two more lines and I'll tell you an interesting Primer Gadim. No, it's fine. I'll tell you an interesting Primer Gadim based on this discussion. So Rabbi Yossi is this opinion that says Bishul can be Mvatel, the initial Tzli. That's where Rabban used the word Bashul Mavushul for. So the Gemara says, Ula Amar Afil Tema Rai Meir. Even Rai Meir will agree. Even though Rabbi Meir says in regards to matzah, eating matzah, bishul will not ruin the tzli, you could still be yotzei your matzah, even though you mevashel it afterwards. Shiny hacha, when it comes to Karban Pesach, it's different. He'll think it's different. The Amar Kra, vashel mevushel mikol makom. The extra word, pasuk, vashel mevushel, even though normally bishul is not going to be removing the initial tzli, in the case of Karban Pesach, it will remove the initial tzli, because the extra pasuk, vashel mevushel, any type of cooking, even after the initial roasting. So the Prima Gadim says, based on this discussion, that sounds like as follows. That the if you have Bishul and then Tzli, so you're still Chayiv on the Bishul. Right, let's say I have Mevashel, if I'm in Vashel Karban Pesach, I'm over an Isser. Let's say I roasted it afterwards. So roasting el chor should undo my cooking. So I should be able to undo my cooking and therefore not chayiv in the bishul, because tzli should have forgotten the initial bishul. But the Gemara says you're still chayiv. Sounds like even though you roasted something after cooking it, even though there's tzli after bishul, it still retains the status of being mevushal at one point. The tzli does not entirely undo the initial bishul. So tzli after bishul, this is, let's say all before Erev Shabbos. I first cooked a piece of meat in some water. And then I took it out and then I roasted it on the grill.
Right.
All Erev Shabbos. So now, the din of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. There's no cooking after cooking. Meaning I'm allowed to cook after I cook something already. So let's say, for example, I cooked some noodles in Erev Shabbos. I could take those noodles and put it in my soup. Even though the soup is very hot, I could place it on the soup on Shabbos, because Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, there's cooking that cannot happen two times. But let's say I cooked the noodles, and then I roasted the noodles all Erev Shabbos, can I then take that noodles and put it back in the soup? There's bishul, there's tzli, can I now put it in the bishul? Do you say that tzli undoes the initial bishul, or does not undo the initial bishul? That's the shiloh the Acharim deal with. Prima Gadim says, we see from here that tzli does not undo the initial bishul. It still has a chalosh shem mevushal on it. Why? Because even though I cooked the meat, I was mevashalik meat, and then I roasted it, I'm still over the Issel being mevashalik Karban Pesach. The tzli does not undo the initial bishul. So the Prima Gadim says, there's a heter, there's a kula here now. If I bake something, cook something, and then I baked it, it still has the shame mevushal, and I can place it in the noodles. That's what Prima Gadim says.
Don't hear the raya.
Because
you
did a Maisha Bishul.
You went through the process of a Bishul, and you're not allowed to go through a process of a Bishul on a Korban Pesach.
Right, it's not about the Totsa, the fact that in the end it's Mevushal. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like this Raya at all. Mishnah Berurah says, I don't like this Raya, it doesn't make sense to me.
Just to clarify, yeah. So you're saying, since once it's cooked, you're saying? Or better yet, is the fact that since you're not allowed to do any form of Bishul on the Korban, either way, it doesn't matter the process that it went through, is that the shot?
You can, the Isser is to do any bishul.
Any form of bishul. So
right.
Whether it's chemically changed or not is irrelevant. There's not allowed to do it. That's what I'm saying.
Right. So the question is, after I roasted it, does it lose the shame bishul or not?
Well, phase two, you're saying.
Right, phase two. I first put it in a pot of water, and then I put it on the grill.
Yeah.
Is that roasting on the grill going to remove the chaloshim bishul or not? I already
bashed it. I don't understand that. Why should we remove it? In other words, you did it already.
And that's what he's saying also. That's exactly what he's saying. It doesn't make sense. So Prima Gadim brings this as a raya. As the Gemara, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like this raya for this reason, I believe.
No, but Ezra, are you saying as it relates to what's being done or just the status of it?
No, you don't. If you cook something, now you roast it. So you're just doing something additional to it. In other words, it doesn't mean that it wasn't cooked.
So you're saying two different things. Adam's saying is what the Maya said, what are you doing? You're saying what's actually changing. It's two different things what you're saying.
So either way, so this ends up being Machlokas Poskim, and the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa brings this down and says the Nafkamina is as follows. Let's say you're cooking, let's say, a chont. You're making a chont, and it's very liquidy. And overnight, all the liquid comes out, and it gets very dry. It turns into something very, very dry now. You're allowed to add more water to it now. Initially, it was cooked. It was bishul because there was a lot of liquid. It turned into something yavish through night, and now it's becoming roasted because there's no liquid in there anymore, or something like that. You're allowed to add the water to it. So if you say, exact hot water, if you say it still retains the chaloshim bishul, even though it was roasted afterwards, so you're allowed to pour it on the water, additional water, because it has a shem bishul. If you say no, once it turns into a roasting now, it loses the shem bishul. By you pouring water, that's going to be a new bishul. You don't view it as having an initial bishul on it. The tzli undoes the initial bishul, and you would not be allowed to. That's the nafkamina that's brought down by the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa. He says, Lamaisa, he quotes from Rosh Hashanah Zaman, that one can be makel in this regard, because first of all, it's a machlokas poskim, and second of all, as we saw in the Gemara, tzli keder, which is pot roasting, which in this case would be pot roasting, there's a machlokas whether that's considered bishul or tzli. Some might even say a dry piece of meat in a pot might not be considered tzli, even that might be considered bishul, like the Gemara just said here. So one can be makel in such a case.
With hot water.
With hot water, right.
Now, is there a measurement?
A measurement, what do you mean?
Meaning sometimes, like a chont, for some reason, will burn through a ton of liquid.
Well, what the shear and how you know when something is dry?
Meaning, meaning sometimes you look at the pot and you say, like, okay, fine, you need to add a cup of water, right? But if you notice that literally, like, half of it went out for some reason, you didn't put enough to begin with, then there could be a concern that maybe you're doing more, I guess. I don't know.
What do you mean by that?
Meaning, if there's a little bit of water, you're adding a little hot water,
fine,
put a cup of water. Sometimes a chilim looks like it's too dry. You're adding too much. Maybe what there's certain things that weren't cooked to begin with. Yeah, they were really just roasted to begin with because you have enough water.
I see what you're saying. I'm not sure how to do that. I mean, let's say very little water, so the bottom was cooked. The top of it maybe would have been roasted. I'm not sure. I think once there's liquid in it, I would assume everything in the pot would be considered bishul. That'd be my guess. Because all the liquid is moving around together, the moisture from the heat.
No, because what you're referring to, it's really that's the Ashkenazi chilim. You look at the way the Sephardi chilim is, there's very little liquid at all. And the top of it, usually they're going to be separated, beans, whatever. The top of the barley is being roasted. It's not really being baked.
Right, so I just don't know in halacha how we categorize that. I would guess bishul, but I don't know for sure. You would think it's roasted.
Right, no, I would think it's cooked. It's wrong with liquid.
It's not bishul.
Doesn't go. The whole thing doesn't have to be immersed in water to be considered
Why
cooked.
Why not? If we're saying the whole thing is bishul.
That's how you cook something. When you cook something, you don't have to immerse it in water. It's not
one tafshil can have two statuses.
What do you mean?
One tafshil can have two statuses within the same unit.
Well, very simple. The whole machlok is everything we're talking about now is where the liquid is there to do bishul, right?
Right.
So if where the liquid is there to do bishul, great. But if you look at any time you steam vegetables, right? How does it work? The bottom pot, right, is just the water liquid. And then you're going to have something on top, a separate pot on top of that has like the little holes inside. And the top you're steaming, right? It's two different processes. Same thing in a Sephardi chilim. We have liquid on the bottom. The bottom is being cooked, like the meat itself. And the barley on top is purely being roasted.
It's not roasting. You can't consider that roasting. It can't be two statuses of bishul.
Okay. All right. I agree also, but that's... No, it's fine. Fine. So the Gemara said, that's the one more, that's an important Rashi on the side. It says Rashi, in regards to the matzah, the rokik shashara, you take a piece of matzah and you soak it in the water. So everybody agreed, both of Meir Rabbi Yosef, you're yotze in such a matzah. The only shaila was if you're mevashal afterwards. So Rashi says... where's this Rashi? Where did I lose that Rashi here? Where's Rukik? Here we go. Yotzin. The Rashi is Yotzin. That you're Yotze if the Rokik is Shari. Yedei Chovas Matzah. You're Yotze Matzah. Berokik HaShari. Betavshil. La'achar Fiyasa. Something that's soaked in some type of Tavshil. So they're Medayik from Rashi and other Rishonim are more explicit that what types of liquids are you allowed to soak the Matzah in and be Yotze? Sound like from Rashi, any Tavshil, anything. The Rambam says only B'mayim. Only if you take the Matzah and soak it in water are you still going to be Yotze, the Mitzah Matzah. But any other liquid is going to remove the tam of the matzah, and you need tam of the matzah, that won't be yotze. But the medayik from this Rashi, and again, other Rishonim explicitly, any liquid that you're soaked the matzah in, you will be yotze, and for some reason they're not as concerned with the tam of the matzah. Even though last parak talks about in Pesachim that one has to have tam matzah, lechachila, it sounds like from Rashi and others that even any other liquid, you can be yotze when you soak it in those. Fine. Says the Gemara Navait, Tana Rabbanan, Yachol Tzalo Kol Tzarecho Yechayev. You might think if you roast it entirely, completely, we'll get to what means kol tzarchan at the end, in a few lines, maybe one's chayiv because you over-roasted it, only tzli, only a regular type of tzli is going to be the mitzvah, but more than that will be chayiv, it will be over nisr. Tamalomer al tochlu mimenu no. Ubash mevushal b'mayim, the pasuk says. We'll get to na in a second. No ubash mevushal, only if it's na or cooked, is it amarti l'cha, the pasuk says you can't do. But something that's entirely roasted, that's not mentioned in the pasuk, so of course there's no iser involved there. Now, hey chidami, what's the case of kol tzarcho? I'm a Rav Ashi, dishavya charucha, says Rashi Sarf, you burnt it to a crisp. You roasted it, you grilled it, you put it on high, you know, you seared it in the highest fire, it really made it very black. That's kol tzarcho, you are not chayiv for that. So what is the definition of na? So you look at Rashi, Rashi says na, it's tzli. It's partially roasted. That's the definition of nah. So the pasuk says, if you partially roast something, I don't really know how to, does that mean like medium rare or something? I don't know. What, rare? Well, rare would be like, not. I guess rare if you, it's right, not raw, seared, I guess rare. Okay.
Seared.
So the inside is pretty rare, really red. So that would be, let's say, nah. Chai is raw. That's saying chai is raw. Nah is rare, let's say. Everything above that would be, I guess, considered sleep. So that's what Rashi defines, no, it's tzli ve'eino tzli. However, there are others, the Targum Unklus among them, sounds that tzli, na, is really chai. Na and chai are the same thing, which you see in a second, seems to be quite problematic. So the Gemara says further now, Tana Rabbanan, yachol achol kezayis chai yechayev. One might think if you eat a raw kezayis, raw, not cooked at all, one would be chayev. Tamalomer al tochlu mimenu no ubash mevushal. The pasuk says, no, vashal amarti dechav lo chai. So if it's raw, on one end, or it's well done, really well done on the other end, that's not a chayiv. Yachol ye mutter, maybe it would be mutter, maybe someone is able to eat it raw, completely. The pasuk says no, it's partially, it's rare, but raw would be permitted. Tamalomer ki im tzliyesh, the pasuk says it's supposed to be roasted. So it's if you eat it raw, you're violating the mitzvah aseh of eating it roasted. Heichidami na, what does na mean? Amarav kidami parsa avronim. So Rashi says, "Kadami parsa avronim, osa tzli shebeloshen parsi kriya avronim beloshen hakodesh karina." So some level of roasting, let's call it call it rare, right? We'll call that rare, I guess.
So medium is an establishment.
So that's what it sounds. Sounds like well done is problematic. Shavya charucha is probably worse than well done, but for me, well done is shavya charucha. I really don't like well done. So well done is out of the. It's not a problem.
Killing
the
meat,
right? Raw is not an iser. But it's a violation of the assay. And rare, which is na, is a lav. Bishel is a lav. So the best way to eat it is medium, rare, medium, or medium well.
Depending how. No, according to what we said in Rashi, though, according to what we explained, it's not rare. It's, I believe, it's medium rare. Meaning it's roasted outside and it's
I don't know how to define tzli ve'eino tzli. It's roasted but not roasted, so I'm not sure. You could define it as medium, maybe partially, but medium, tzli ve'eino tzli to me is more like rare. It's definitely not raw, and medium to me is quite is tzli from my taste. So I'm going to say, I'm going to guess at least it's rare. But I could be wrong.
Half cooked.
Right. So it depends how you define it. You have to get into the discussion to Michael and you saw what exactly that definition of that is in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. That's half cooked. That's a third cooked. Is that the same thing as tzli ve'eino tzli? I don't know.
I thought there was said officially is a third cooked.
It's machlok. It's half or a third cooked. Okay. Says the Gemara further now. Amar Rav Chizda Hamavashel B'chami Tveria. Someone who cooks Karim Pesach in the waters of Tveria b'Shabbos Pater. You're not a chayv. And Pesach Shabbos B'chami Tveria chayv. But if you ever take a Karim Pesach, first case in Shabbos, you're not chayv. You're pater on Shabbos, but for Karban Pesach, you're chayiv for the iser of mivashel Karban Pesach. Ma'ishna, b'Shabbos delol. Why Shabbos are you pater? It told us eish, but you need something that's generated from fire, v'leka. And the chami tever does not come from eish, so that's why you're pater on Shabbos. Pesach Nami Lav that told us Eshu. Also, Karim Pesach, it doesn't come from a fire. Why are you chayav for being Mevashon and Chami Teveria?
What are you thankful for? Oh, because it's.
Sorry?
It's not a told us Eshu, therefore what? It's really not a told
us Eshu. So look at Rashi, says, the Lav told us Eshu, he, a few lines from the bottom, Hokach Lav Bishalu, the Levi Chai Mishim Abloch. It's not considered an Abloch, it's not considered Bishal. It's just like it's not Bishal by Shabbos, so it's not Bishal by Pesach. Why should we be distinguished between the definition of Bishal and two different halachas? So I'm a rabba, my chayv, what do you chayv? You're not chayv on being mevashel on the lav, the kasani, the ka'aver, mishum tliyesh. You're chayv for being mevatel tliyesh. You're right, it's not bishel in its classic sense because there's no esh, there's no lav of being mevashel it, but at the same time, it's not considered tli. So you're mevatel the chayv kiim tliyesh, the pasuk says. You're supposed to roast the karm pesach. This is not considered roasting, so you're chayv, you're mevatel the aseh. And the Gemara says, Rav Chiya Breid, Rav Nasan Masi Lahad Rav Chiya Behedya. He learned this way explicitly. He learned the as Masora as follows: Amar Rav Chiya Mevashel B'Chami Tveri B'Shabbos Pater Hu Pesach Shebishle B'Chami Tveri Chayev Shavur Mishum Tzliyesh. Explicitly, it says why you chayev in Karban Pesach because it's not you do not cook it in the form of tzliyesh. So the Achronim ask an interesting question here: how is it ever possible to cook Karban Pesach in the Chami Tveri? Karban Pesach was done in Yerushalayim. Chami Tveri is up north. You cannot take the Karban Pesach outside of Yerushalayim. So how are you able to? It's going to be possible midin yotzei. So you're never going to be able to bring the Karban Pesach to the Chami Tveri. And how are you going to be able to bring Chami Tveri down to Yerushalayim? It's going to be klisheni. Klisheni is not mevashel. So you never have a case like this. That's the shaila. Some say it was never really a serious question. They're just saying, in theory, if there was such a Chami Tveri in Yerushalayim, so what would the shaila be? Completely theoretical. Others say, no, there's a way to accomplish Kli Rishon. There, if you take the Kli and put it into another Kli, and you cover it up, somehow it retains the status of a Kli Rishon. I don't know really the details of it. That's,
Hatmana?
Not through, it doesn't say through Hatmana, but somehow through the similar to Hatmana, but not quite through Hatmana, by putting one Kli into another Kli, and the walls stay hot, so it still retains the Kli Rishon. I wasn't familiar until I saw this. I'm not really sure
it's
the details of it.
A spoon into a pot.
I guess that's the same idea. That's true also. You keep the ladle into the into spot, right. It turns into a Kli Rishon, according to many. Okay, that's the same pot. The fact that the metal gets so hot, so that idea would retain the status of a Kli Rishon.
Who even says that Chamei Tveria are subject to the din of Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni? The concept of Kli Rishon is by something over fire. It was initiated over fire and in that pot that was baking the fire. But here, the whole thing's a natural process. The thing should get hot, so I wouldn't even think it necessarily subject to.
Even more so, you'd be able to put an egg on a pan and leave it out in the sun passively. You're not allowed to, I guess you're not allowed to get the pan hot and then put it on, but technically speaking, you're allowed to put a pan with an egg in it out in the sun.
Right, you can, exactly, because...
I guess the same idea in a natural process like that, like what we're looking for.
And the Gemara and Shabbos do connect the Sugas of Chamei Tveri to putting it out in the sun. Mm. I don't remember what they say, but it's a kakasha. I wonder what they say. It must be considered a Kli Rishon, the fact that they entertain this. The question is why. So I guess the point is you don't need a Kli Rishon necessarily from a fire, but it has to be from the heat source, wherever the heat source might be. Others say no. The reason the idea is the Karban Pesach was initially roasted. You roasted in Yerushalayim. Once it was roasted in Yerushalayim, then you're allowed to take it outside. Then you can take it outside. And then the question is when you're Mevashel in the Chamei Tveri, what is the status? Then Isser Bishul is not in Isser Bishul. Okay. Says the Gemara, last line of the Amud here. Amar Rava Achluna. If you eat it, what we're going to call, at least I'll call rare, partially cooked. So then, din is your loka, you get lashes shtaim. You get two sets of lashes. Why? Says Rashi, Mishum lo sochalna. The Pasi explicitly says, don't eat it when it's rare. Mishum lo sochlo kim tleish. And there's a positive mitzvah to eat it when it's roasted. You violated both those, so therefore you get two different things. And Rashi goes on to say, Dechi im tleish nami alav de lo sochlo koi. He's referring to the word lo in the beginning of the Pasuk. And the Pasuk started again saying, Al tochlo mimenu na, don't eat. Because Al tochlo mimenu na, ubalshim avushal bimaim ki im tleish. The tleish is really going on the initial words of Al tochlo, on the lav. So there are two lav mir. There's a lav not to eat it raw, rare rather, and a lav not to eat it when it's not roasted. If, however, you eat it mevashel, you eat it when it's cooked, the Pesach, Lokesh, Shtaim, you also get lashes, two sets of lashes. No, mevashel, let's say you eat it rare but cooked, meaning I cooked it, so that's, well, no, it's dafka when it's roasted. So I roasted it partially, and then I cooked it, I did both of those. So then you're Lokesh Shalosh, you're Lokesh 3 them. You're Lokesh because you ate it, you cooked it, no, you cooked it mevashel, and you didn't have it tzliyesh, it wasn't fully roasted, you get 3. Abai Amar ain lokin. Alav Shabakolos. He says the following rule: you do not get Malkus in Alav Shabakolos. What's Alav Shabakolos? So Rashi explains three lines down: Lav Shabakolos, so Decholo Bo Kol Mine Bishulim Sheno Tzliya Le'eser. When you have one Lav, that includes a number of different Isurim. So here we have one Lav Lo Sochlu. Under this Lav Lo Sochlu, we have don't eat it Na, don't eat it Mavushul, and you have to eat it Tzliyesh. Those three fall under one Lav. The rule is Lav Shabakolos ain't Lokin. Whatever the reason might be, you don't get Malkus in Lav Shabakolos. And this is a Lav Shabakolos. So on this understanding of bai, there are really two versions. Ikadami tarti hudula laki, chadami is laki. When he says you don't get lav shabakolos, it means you don't get all the lavim, all three. You just get one for all three lavim. Or ikadami chadami lo laki, dilom yachil avad belav klav de chasima. Or you don't get any malkos at all, because it's not similar to lav de chasima. Lav de chasima is the paradigm you use for malkos, because the pasuk has the lo sachsom next to the pasuk of giving malkos. So for you to get malkos in a lav, it has to be similar to lo sachsom. Since this is not similar to lo sachsom, since it's a lav shebecholos, you will not get malkos for this. So again, Abai who says ein lokin a lav shebecholos, there are two versions. One says you get one, but you don't get three; you only get one for all the lavim. Or no, you don't get any malkos at all.
So pasuk no malkos in this case.
In this case, it sounds like you're passing, you do get a set of lashes, one set. That's what it sounds like from the Ein Mishpat.
I thought the Lav Shabbat clause was just the Kim Sliyesh. Why is the Lo Sochum Menuna and Basham Mavusha? Why are those clawless? Those are both very specific.
No, but for Lav, the definition of Lav has to say the word Lo. Lo, Lav, Pen, Hisham, or one of those versions. It only says the word Lo one time in the Pasuk. Mm-hmm. So that goes on all three of those instances.
That's why the clause doesn't fit into this example.
It is the reason why it is a lav shabakolos because it only says lo once, yeah. And talking about three different cases.
Right.
So that's called lav shabakolos. A lav that applies to a cloud, to a number of different isurim.
So therefore, this
is a lav shabakolos. So what's the halach of a lav shabakolos? That's the machlokas, two versions of the Gemara. Right. Some say you do not get any malkos for a lav shabakolos, and some say no, you get one malkos for all the lavim under this category. It's all one group. For no, for mevushel, for tliyesh. So that's one example of lav shabakolos. Rava brings another example of lav shabakolos. Rava Amar, ochel zog, talking about a nazir. Nazir, who eats the zog, is the peel of the grape. So lokesh shayim, you get two sets of malkus. So Rashi says, hey, Rashi brings a pasuk, I think, right, ochel zog lokesh shayim. Nazir she'ochlo, he eats the appeal, Mishum Zog lo Yochal, the Pasuk says, Humishum Mikol Asher Yase Migefen Hayayin Michartonim de lo Yochal Koi Namiya Mikol Asher Yase. So the word lo Yochal goes on the. Do I have a Pasuk on the side here? I don't have a Pasuk. No, I don't know why I don't bring the Pasuk here. Either way, the Pasuk says you can't eat you don't eat the peels, you don't eat any part of the chartonim, any part of the grapes at all. So you get two lavim, one for eating parts of the grapes, and one lav for eating specifically the peel. Chartan, if you eat the seed inside the grape, lokesh shayim, because the pasuk also specifies the chartan. So you get one lav for eating any part of the grape, and you also get another lav for eating the specific part of the seed that's mentioned in the pasuk.
Well, if they're two different lavim, so then it seems like this pasuk should be three, no?
Two so different lavim.
You have a zog, mm-hmm. You lokesh shayim, and chartan, you look at.
No, we didn't do shalosh yet. We didn't get there. Again, achal zog, lokeshtayim, chartan, lokeshtayim. Zog vichartan, eat both them, the seed and the peel and the seed, then lokesh shalosh.
Why is it four? That was the question.
Because you only get one. The third lav is one lav is for eating the seed, one lav is eating the peel, one lav is for eating any part of the grape. So one maisa achila, only get one lav for that. By Amar, ain't lokin al lav shabakolos. He says the klal again, you don't get malkos on lav shabakolos, and this is a lav shabakolos. So again, ikadami tarti hudaloki, he means you don't get two sets, rather chadami is lucky. You do get one set for all the isurim under this category. The ikadami others say that chadanami lo lucky, you don't even get one set, de lo miyachi lav belav kilav de chasima. This is not like the prototype of the lav de chasima, and therefore you don't get malkos for. Says the Gemara now. This is a little bit confusing, this shakler tari now we're about to see. Tana Rabbanan. Ochel kezayis nam mibod yom pater. If I eat a rare piece of meat, erev Pesach, I'm pater. Seems obvious. Kezayis nam mishachashecha chayv. If I eat a rare piece of meat when it gets dark, then I'm chayv. Talking about eating now. Ochel kezayis tzli mibod yom. If I eat a roasted piece of the carbon Pesach, erev Pesach, Lo pasul atzmo b'nei chabura. I do not get disqualified b'nei chabura. What is that talking about? Let's read the one more line. If I eat kazayis li mishachei sheich, if I do eat a kazayis, a roasted piece of Pesach after dark, pasul atzmo b'nei chabura, I do get disqualified b'nei chabura. So Rashi tells us that lo pasul es atzmo b'nei chabura. This is a little further down in Rashi. Lo pasul es atzmo b'nei chabura. Darmin lekaman. We say later on taf peivav. Ein a pesach nechal. The current pesach cannot be eaten lo b'shei chaburus in two different groups. Ki echad ve'ein ha'ochel ochel b'shei mekomos. And the food cannot be eaten in two different places. So a person can't eat in two different groups, and the meat cannot be eaten in two different places. And Rashi goes on to explain the source of this. So when it gets dark, if I eat the current pesach in a different place, then I'm pasul from the Bnei Chabura, I'm disqualified. But if I ate the Pesach Erev Pesach, that does not disqualify me from eating the with the rest of the Chabura. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tani Idach, there's yet another brisa that says, Yochel Ochel Kazayis Nami Bod Yom Yechayev. One might think if I ate a rare piece of meat, Erev Pesach, I should be Chayev. But anyway, it's quite logical, there's a Kal V'Chomer. Ma B'Shah Sheyeshu B'Kum Echel Tzli, Yeshu B'Bal Tochel Na. When there is a positive commandment to eat the roasted Karm Pesach, there is an Isser to eat it rare. B'shah she'ein b'kum echol tzli, when I'm not allowed to eat the roasted Pesach, which means Erev Pesach, ain't no din she'eshu b'bal tochol, no? Should there not be an Isser not to eat, that I'm not allowed to eat the rare piece of meat? Meaning that nighttime, when there's a positive to eat, I'm supposed to be eating the Pesach, yet there's still a law not to eat in this way. Erev Pesach, where there's more rules, where I cannot eat the tzli, Erev Pesach, isn't even not more so. Isn't a kal v'chomer that I shouldn't be able to eat the rare piece of meat also? So that's the Gemara suggests at first. Oh, lower, maybe not. Maybe say the following. B'sha'ah, she'ena b'kum echol tzli, when I don't eat, when I have no mitzvah to eat, meaning Erev Pesach, however, yeshu b'bal tochal na'ah, maybe there I should have an iser to eat it when it's rare. And then b'sha'ah, she'yeshu b'kum echol, when I'm allowed, when I'm supposed to eat that tzli, echol tzli, ena b'bal tochal na'ah, maybe then I shouldn't have the iser of eating it rare. That's the Gemara. Maybe that's the other way to read it. I know it's a little bit confusing. Val titma, don't be so wondered, don't be so bothered. Sherei hutem yichala eitzel tzli. Because once night comes, I'm allowed to eat the roasted piece of Pesach. Maybe also I should be able to eat the rare piece of meat as well. Tama lomar al tochlu mimenu no ubosh mevushu b'mayim ki im tzliyesh. The pasuk says, Shein tama lomar ki im tzliyesh. Why does it have to say tzliyesh? Once I rule out rare, I rule out mevushul. What's left? It's tzli. Mal tamalomer kiim tzliyesh. What's the extra word to tell me? Lomer lecha b'shah sheyesh b'kum al echel tzli. When there's a requirement to eat it when it's roasted, yesh b'bal tochal. Now that's when there's an issur to eat it rare. B'shah she'ena b'kum echel tzli. When there's no mitzvah to eat it when it's roasted, meaning erev Pesach, ain't b'bal tochal. Now there's no issur to eat it rare. So that's how the Gemara concludes. Again, a little confusing, but in the end of the day, it's quite straightforward.
And then we say that you need kiim tzliyesh to teach you chai, because if you don't have kiim tzliyesh, there's no other law attached to chai.
Well, no one said chai. There's no law for chai, though. Chai was just a bitul asay of tzliyesh.
Kim tzliyesh. But Rashi there speaks out that it's the law of shabakwala.
Very good. Rashi does say that. Tosas here argues on that.
But regardless, the fact is that if you didn't have kim tzliyesh, mm-hmm. The Gemara thinks kim tzliyesh here is to tell you that the chiyuv na only comes at the time of the mitzvah sachilas tzli. I'm saying you need kiyum tzliyesh because you need to learn the law by chai, or you need to attach a second law by the other cases. I mean, you see, there's another law there.
I see. See, Tosas asks a similar question, not quite what you're saying about chai, but Tosas in the bottom there, that shein, you see that shein tam lomer kiyum tzliyesh avagav itzrich. You need it for something else. Lahalikos alav mishum kiyum tzliyesh, to give malchus for that. So then,
this is the same question.
But you're asking, well, that's specifically chai, I guess.
No, I was saying also right. To attach a second law.
Okay,
here. The point is that you need it to teach
something
you
else,
a law.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So, Hainu Nami Mishum Desamchei Lenal Mavushal. So he said that the real limit is not the words Kim Sleish, it's the fact that Sleish is juxtaposed to the words Na Mavushal, to tell me that when there's Sleish, that's when there's an Isser, but the actual words come to teach me the law, like you said, it's the juxtaposition which tells me that the two go hand in hand, the law and the Asay go hand in hand. Exactly what you said. So that's all according to the beginning of this brisa. Rebbe comes along and says, Rebbe Omer, Ekra ni bishbashel, I'll just read the pasuk bashel. Matam l'omer mevushal. Why does the pasuk repeat beshem mevushal two times? One would be enough. Shiachla, I would think ain li ela shebishal b'mishach hashecha. I don't really think if you cooked it at nighttime, would it be a problem if you were to eat it when it's the state of bishul. However, let's say mevushim bashim b'od yom. Let's say I cooked it erev Pesach, and then I ate it the night of Pesach. Maybe I shouldn't be over the iser. Minayin, how do I know that's also asher if I cooked it erev Pesach? Tamilomar bashim mevushal mikol makom. I cooked it in any way, whether I cooked it on Pesach or I cooked it erev Pesach. This can be a violation for me to eat the karm Pesach while being mevushal. That's the pasuk bashim mevushal. Those two words come to teach me both those times. V'hai bashim mevushal ma'afkir Rebbe litzli keder l'shar mashkim. Didn't Rebbe use this on Amun Aleph, the pasuk bashim mevushal, to include that if I pot roasted something and it's its own juices, it's going to be chayiv? That's what Bashar Mavush is coming to teach me, not to teach me that cooked in Erev Pesach is going to be a violation if I eat it also. Im Kain, if that's the case, Lema Kra O Vasha Vasha O Mavusha Mavusha. If it would just taught me to include other liquids to have the same word repeated. My Bashar Mavusha, why change the words? We find this in a number of places in Shas. Shemas Mina Tarsi, we learned two things. One is we learned something from the extra word, and secondly, that the Torah changed the word around, we learned yet a second thing. Questions, we go further or stop there? Let's, it goes well into it, I think, the next page. Yes, maybe we should stop here then, I guess. Because the tomorrow's daf is actually pretty short, and there's not really much to talk about. It's pretty technical.
So,
want to go to two dots? Okay, that's the... Okay, fine, go to two dots. So, Tanur Rabbanam, says the Braisa. Tanur Rabbanam, Achal Tzlim Bod Yom, Chayiv. So one might think, if you ate the roasted Pesach Erev Pesach, you're going to be chayiv. And Rashi says, this will be explained later on. Don't get so confused, because it doesn't really make much sense right now. Ukezayis no, if you ate a rare piece of meat, Mishach Hashecha, when it got dark, chayiv, you should be chayiv also. Kasani tzli dumyu dina, roasted is similar to rare. Manna bilav, ap tzli bilav. Just like rare, if you ate it rare, when it got dark, you're over a lav. So to be tzli, Er Pesach, you're going to violate a lav as well. So Bishlo Noksiv Al Tochlu Mimenu No. It says explicitly you violate a lav if you eat it rare. El Tzliminal. And how do I know if I ate it roasted Er Pesach I'm going to get a lav? Minalon Dichsiv V'Ochlu As Abaser Belayla Hazeh. When I eat the Pesach at this night, Belayla In Bayom Lo. Only I eat it at night. The implication is if I eat it during the daytime, I violate a lav. Mar says, what do you mean? You get malchus for that? You get your chai for eating sleep? Because in the pasuk belayla hazeh, belayla in b'yom lo, hai lav habab michal asehu, v'chol lav habab michal asei. This is a lav that's inferred from an asei. It says to do it one thing, and we can infer not to do it a different way. But that's the rule. A lav habab michal asei is not considered a lav. It's called an asei. You don't get malchus for violating asei. You get malchus for violating a lav. This is not a lav. You shouldn't get malchus. Amir v'chisr. V'chisr answers, ha money, who is the author of the statement? The author is Rabbi Yehuda. Which Rabbi Yehuda? What does he tell us? Rashi just tells us that he holds the top line before he goes weiter. Damar lav habam lechal lemor lavu. He makes an interesting drasha based on the word lemor to tell me that lemor tells me it's a lav. Where's this drasha? Says the Gemara, Ditanya shor v'seh sarua v'kalut. Sarua, Rashi tells us, is who she'achas me'inav gedola v'achas ketana. One of his eyes, the animal is bigger and the other one's smaller. The chen shari varm, any other limb where it's uneven, a bigger leg and a smaller leg. That's called the sarua. And kalut, Rashi says, is sheparsos of klutos, where it's supposed to have split hooves, but these are not split, they are together, they're one. So if you have such a shor seh, these things are balimum, the pasuk says. And the pasuk goes on to say, back to the Gemara, two lines down, nod nedava tasa oso. You make this balimum as a nedava, you give it as a designation to the dedication to the base of Migdash. So you give the proceeds, you can't give the balimum as a carbon, rather you're being a makdish's animal, that the dumb of the value should be ultimately dedicated to the base of Migdash. So the pasuk Gemara makes a drasha now as follows. Oso atamatvis lebedekabai, so this balmum, you can be matvis, you can be tofes, you could have it attached to the base of Megdash, the value. V'yata matvis tmimim lebedekabai, but you cannot designate the value of a tomim, of a unblemished animal to the base of Megdash. An unblemished animal, a tamim, tam, goes to the base of Megdash. If I were to say, I want to be makdish, the domim of this carbon, of this animal, the domim, not as a carbon, but only the value, I believe, the halacha is, that the actual animal turns into a hektish animal. You cannot take just the value, you have to bring this as a carbon. So, you're only allowed to dedicate the value of a bamum but you're not allowed to dedicate the value of a tamimim animal. So mikan amru, from here we see kol hamatvis tamimim lebetek habayis over ba'aseh. Anybody who does this violates the aseh, because the pasuk says nidava ta'aseh. So you're supposed to positive aseh to make the baal mum, but you're not allowed to make the tamim into a betek habayis, and that's a violation of aseh. Ainly al ba'aseh, I only know there's a violation of an aseh. Below says minayin, and how do I know there's a lav as well to do this? Tamalom, where the pasuk says vaydav Hashem Moshe lemor, huh? Pasuk says Hashem says to Moshe, saying, "Where's the lav?" Li made a kol parsha kula she below sase divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the because the whole pasuk says divrei vaydav Hashem Moshe lemor. So the Gemara says Amalom Rabbi levar kapar my masha. What in the world is he talking about? Where do you see a lav in the words vaydav Hashem Moshe lemor? Amalom dichsiv lemor. The pasuk says lemor, which means lo nemar. There should be a lav stated here in this parsha. Bidvarim. Beirav ami lemor lav emor. Slightly different. The word lemor should be broken down as lav emor. You should say there is a lav. So this introduction of this parsha about Baal Mum has the words vaidav Hashem Moshe lemor, introducing these words lemor, that there's going to be a lav on all that which follows. So here too also, when it comes to the Karim Pesach, Rashi says four lines down, lav emor, emor lehen, sheyesh iser lav bidvarim. V'hochel gavi pesach, says Rashi, namiksiv b'tchilas ha'parsh, in the beginning, v'yomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron lemor. So Rabbi Yehuda says the word lemor can be broken down as lo nemar or lo lav emor. That's a lav. So that lav is going in that parsha of b'layla hazeh. B'layla hazeh, on that night you're supposed to eat shleish, but not b'yom. But b'yom is not simply a lav above b'machal seh. B'yom is actually a lav now from the words lemor.
Tosa says that it's the combination of the two. The fact it says lemor and that there's a lav b'chalal say in the parish.
Right. That helps. Otherwise, every lemor exactly.
Creates a lav.
Exactly. Yeah. So you need both those to be considered a lav here. Okay, shkoyach. All right, so we'll stop here. Let's see how this works. That's a little short.